Next case on our calendar is 04-1726, State of Ohio, XRL Robert Fisher versus City of Cleveland. Mr. Kaiser.
Mr. Chief Justice, if it pleases the court, I'd like to reserve 2 minutes of my time for rebuttal.
Watch your time there.
In this case, the 8th District Court of Appeals handcuffed the city and her Civil Service Commission by enjoining them from asking for federal income tax returns of employees being investigated for compliance with the city's residency rules. This type of discovery, asking for federal income tax returns, has become commonplace in all other walks of litigation, ranging from personal injury litigation, at least where there's a wage loss claim, to business litigation, where there are claims of loss of profits and other such claims.
But aren't there other ways to approve residency rather than federal income tax?
There are numerous other ways to prove residency, Your Honor. If the city had adequate resources, we could greatly expand surveillance efforts. But those are expensive, and asking for federal income tax returns does lead frequently to the discovery of highly relevant information. For instance, if city records indicate that a firefighter is living in a trailer in Euclid Beach Trailer Park, and in point of fact, they're claiming a $10,000 or $12,000 mortgage interest deduction on a house in Mentor, that makes the city lawyers very curious, and they might check with Mentor schools.
How many residences is an individual permitted to have in the state of Ohio?
In terms of abodes, there is no limit.
Try to answer the question I'm going to ask you here, because I'm going to contrast it with a domicile. The question is, how many residences is an individual permitted to have in the state of Ohio?
There is no limit under state law as to the number of residences.
How many domiciles does an individual have in Ohio?
No limit on that either. However, under the charter of the city of Cleveland, one must be, if one chooses to accept employment with the city, a bona fide resident of the city of Cleveland.
And is bona fide resident defined somewhere?
Bona fide resident is defined at common law in this state. In our brief, you'll see numerous cases, typically divorce cases, which define the word bona fide resident. It is not particularly described in the charter itself or in the civil service rules applicable.
Well, now this isn't authoritative, but I want you to understand that at least the legal dictionaries determine that an individual's presence as an inhabitant is definitional of a residence, and a domicile requires bodily presence plus an intent to make the place one's home.
That's true, Your Honor, and we cited those cases in
our brief. And so it is concluded that a domicile is referred to as one's true, fixed, principal, and permanent home, to which he intends to return and remain, though he may currently be residing elsewhere. And then the conclusion would be that an individual may have more than one residence, but only one domicile. And the code under which you're operating here says that the employees need to be a resident, not domicile.
I understand, Your Honor. But
so when you're arguing to me that this individual has a Euclid Beach trailer but paying a mortgage elsewhere, I guess I'd ask you, so what? As long as there is a residence, what difference is it?
But even under the definition Your Honor just cited, it has to be a permanent residency. And I would respectfully suggest that somebody who picks up mail at Euclid Beach Trailer Park, but actually goes to his or her spouse and children in Mentor every night and has their children enrolled in Mentor schools, Mentor is more likely their permanent residence.
Well,
but in any event, this case is not a challenge to the residency rule. We're simply, Your Honor.
That's what I was going to say, is that is not the issue in the case. The issue is whether the city has a right to those federal income tax returns.
That's right. It's really a discovery standard, and there is no question but that The disclosure of federal income tax returns can lead to very probative information about that person's residence. It can lead to ideas for us to follow up on. It's not necessarily dispositive on the issue, but it's very helpful. And in all other walks of litigation, it is generally regarded as fair game, the disclosure of a federal income tax return.
Why wouldn't you just require the Ohio tax return? Everyone has to file a Ohio tax return.
Frankly, Your Honor, because the federal return is much more detailed. Now, I hasten to add that the city allows redaction.
So you do want more information than simply where the person resides?
Yes, Your Honor. For instance, on a Schedule E attached to your federal return, it contains detailed information about rental property. So if, for instance, city records indicate that a city police officer resides in the up portion of a duplex in Slavic Village, and yet the federal Schedule E shows that they're collecting rent on both the up and the down portion of that duplex, that makes the city lawyers curious. They're going to want to ask questions. Do they have a tenant that pays them rent but resides with them?
Counsel, once disclosed, are these a public record then?
I don't know the answer to that question, Your Honor.
Of course
but
they are.
I don't know the answer to that question, but I would add that we allow liberal redaction. We're not interested
What do you mean by liberal redaction? The name and address and Social Security number on the front of the return? Is that
the Social Security number, your investment income? We don't care about your stock market success or failure. All kinds of information is allowed to be redacted. But these returns can be very helpful. In fact, they're very harmful to those few members of the union who are investigated for cheating. Know that if they're required to give their
counsel, do you believe, as Judge Roberts indicated recently in his appearance before the United States Senate Committee, that there is a fundamental right of privacy inherent in the United States Constitution?
There certainly is, Your Honor, and traditionally it's limited to familiar matters, sexual matters. It plays a great role in the abortion debate, but the case law has been quite clear that the constitutional right to privacy has never extended to protect federal income tax disclosures. That was in our brief.
From
disclosure in civil litigation. The very thing that the city has been enjoined from even asking for.
Counsel, let me just address that for a moment. Why is it that the state and the federal government have laws that prohibit the release by government authorities of these very documents that you are seeking? Why is that?
I think largely because the IRS doesn't want to be bothered with the bombardment of discovery requests and subpoenas that it would receive if these things were disclosable from the IRS. The unions argued below.
Is it a criminal offense for them to, for governmental authorities to release this?
Because you don't want nosy IRS employees to be posting my income tax returns on the internet.
Okay, so we're talking about an individual's right to have this information filed with the appropriate government agency, and that become then a private matter.
But the law has been quite clear that the restriction is on the governmental agency
only. Let me proceed. And yet you say that if the employee produces it, that's a whole different ballgame.
It is indeed, Your Honor.
And this employee would be producing it under the coercion of the City of Cleveland, its employer, and if there is not a production, that's a termination consequence, correct?
But if a particular employee has an objection on relevance or on some other particular item on his or her return, they can raise that at the administrative level. If they're unhappy with the result, they can take a 2506 appeal. They do have protections built in.
And has an employee ever been successful in challenging the city's request for their income tax returns and have a result that they did not have to produce them?
Personally, I don't know the answer to the question, but I know that on the record of this case, there's no evidence of that, nor is there any evidence of anyone who tried and failed. largely because this case was brought not against any particular individual employee, it was brought as a taxpayer suit. In terms of the discoverability of federal income tax returns, the fact is that up in Cuyahoga County, every single divorce litigant is required under the standard decree to produce at the request of CSEA or the court a copy of last year's federal income tax return, unredacted, no exceptions. Failure to do so.
That's when their income is the subject matter of the litigation so that they can prove ability for division of property, child support, spousal support, extent of assets for division. And that's the effect of that.
Well, occasionally, Your Honor, in divorce court, the other side wants the tax return to prove where the person is residing and with whom they're residing with. So it's not just a matter of income. There can be all kinds of helpful information that comes out of these federal income tax returns. In Cuyahoga County, it's contempt of court not to give them up.
Isn't that exactly the problem? I mean, you led off with that. I was astounded by it. There's all kinds of helpful information in this return if we can get our hands on it. It's, I guess, in listening to you and all of the helpful nuggets that you would find, it is a little wonder to me that Cleveland is having trouble with their budget being able to provide essential services, because they apparently have a whole bunch of people just sitting there ready to review your tax returns.
Well, that's not true at all, Your Honor. But we engage in the same discovery in personal injury litigation, and it is true there. And every court in the country has allowed the production of federal income tax returns in personal injury litigation. In business, I couldn't imagine business litigators.
Well, but as Justice O'Connor pointed out, it's relevant to something that's essential. And as one of the justices pointed out at the beginning, there are plenty of other ways of establishing where one resides without having their tax return.
Is the only purpose that you want the information for the resident's address?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I didn't hear the first part.
Is the only purpose for which you want the tax return the resident's address, or do you seek additional information?
We're interested in whether or not mortgage deductions are being taken for places outside the city limits, because that leads us to further follow up on where that person is a bona fide resident and whether or not it's within the city of Cleveland.
Counsel, how do you follow up on that? What's the process used when you get these nuggets of information?
If we have a specific address in Mentor, surveillance might be employed from time to time. It's used sparingly, but it happens.
Aren't you embarrassed?
Not at all, Your Honor. Not at all, Your Honor. The people of the city of Cleveland in 1982 amended their charter to require those that want to take city jobs to live in the city. And they also empowered the Civil Service Commission to adopt rules to enforce that, because if some are permitted to cheat, it's not fair to the rest who don't cheat. And the overwhelming majority of our employees do not cheat. But there's a few bad apples who do, and we owe it to the rest of the employees to check up on them and to make sure that this cheating is put to an end.
If you got a tax return and everything were redacted but for the resident's address, would that be acceptable to you?
We need more than the resident's address at the top of the return, Your Honor, because you can list whatever address you want at the top of the return. If on Schedule A you're deducting mortgage interest, that's
information. It seems to me that you're interested in the mortgage interest deduction being claimed on federal tax returns.
Or rental information being claimed on Schedule E. There's different types of information.
So you want financial reporting information about income disposition by employees in the city of Cleveland is what you're seeking.
We are, Your Honor. I see that I'm already past, I've got less than 2 minutes left. I'd like to reserve the rest of my time.
Thank you, Mr.
For
Kaiser.
Rebuttal. Thank you.
Mr. Deamer.
Good morning, Your Honorable Court. If it may please this Honorable Court, my name is Joe Deamert, representing Robert Fisher, seated behind me, who is the president of Local 93 Cleveland Firefighters. He's also personally a resident of the city of Cleveland, bringing this matter as a taxpayer. I've also been allotted the time of the Cleveland Police Patrolmen's Association, who was an intervener in this case and has filed a brief on behalf of its 2,000 members. This honorable court has always upheld the individual right of privacy. As recently as September 7th of this very month in the Dispatch case, when it does not serve to document public activity or obligation, you have upheld the right of privacy and declared certain documents not public records, to answer Justice Pfeiffer's question. This honorable court stated as many as 50 years ago in the Hosh versus...
Well, counsel, these aren't public records to begin with. These are tax returns that are filed. They are not public records except under very limited circumstances.
The minute that we supply them to the Civil Service Commission, it is our belief that they would be public records. In fact, they've treated them that way in the years prior to our bringing this action.
Okay.
And once they're in the hands of civil service and their myriad of employees, they sit on countertops, they sit in the hallways, they're faxed, they're put back and forth between the law department.
Well, they're disclosable in public records requests.
Have they been disclosed?
They would be under those circumstances, along with the disciplinary file of the public employees, correct?
Absolutely, Your Honor.
Okay. So there is no protection against that sort of a release?
Absolutely. This honorable court 50 years ago in the Hausch-Peth case in 1956 said it is the right of a person to be left alone, to be free from unwarranted publicity, and to live without unwarranted interference by the public in matters with which the public is not necessarily concerned. And I think that says it all in this particular case. One of the justices asked my opponent here, aren't they embarrassed? We first got involved in this particular situation when a very embarrassing thing occurred. A firefighter was divorced. His wife and children lived in Rocky River. One morning, the children wake up to go to school, 7 and 9 years old. The father left the fire department at 8 o'clock in the morning, went out to pick them up because the mother, his ex-wife, was at work. Surveillance cameras were outside. The two surveillance employees of the City of Cleveland Civil Service Commission is how they enforce this law. Those two employees, by the way, are non-residents. They're exempted under being they're hired prior to 1982. They're employed full-time to surveil those people who are accused of being violation of the residence requirement. Video cameras jump out of the car, videotaping the father walking down the driveway with the two children to his car to take them to school. The trauma of that is what brought this case about. The manner in which the city has gone into enforcing this, they had no redaction rights before. The firefighters were asked to submit their tax returns unredacted.
Well, counsel, whether or not income tax returns are disclosed or discoverable or mandatorily supplied would not stop the surveillance by the commission.
It would not.
If that's their way of discovery,
absolutely,
of gathering evidence, and if they have a legitimate concern about someone's residency, they can use the means that are provided for that discovery.
Absolutely. And the document which is in front of this court, which is the verification of city residency form, is very clear evidence. We're not objecting to anything on that form other than completing the 1040 tax return as actually filed with the federal, state, and local income tax agencies. The additional items, which they go on and list ad nauseum, voter registration, homeowners insurance, utility records, tax records, school of property taxes, school records, Ohio identification cards, driver's license, motor vehicle records, financial records, postal change of address, other mail, all those things we agree we'll give you. You're entitled to that for us to show that we're a resident. There's an employee residency form, an affidavit signed under oath declaring where their residency is, which each employee signs. Now, if we do all of that, do you still need us to give you our federal income tax return, let you know how much alimony we pay to our ex-wife, what her Social Security number is? Do you need to know what children's disabilities we have that we are deducting? All of those are items we're still not allowed to deduct. If we made a bad investment in a stock market, bad investment in this, our losses, we still can't redact those because those little nuggets, as portrayed by the appellant's counsel, can help them find some way we might be deceiving. Well, I submit submit to this honorable court, if we've given you dozens of documentations about where we live and why we live there and our voter registrations and our driver's license, and you still think we're lying to you, what good is the tax return? In fact, the tax return statement on their residency format says that even though you're giving us all this information, this is not bona fide proof that you're a resident, even if it's on your tax return. So we submit to you that the city's taken such a hard stand on this because they do have a problem with their residency documentation. For some reason, they feel as though bona fide resident has not been defined. They're having trouble defining it. Each administration now is trying to escalate or de-escalate their enforcement based on what their interpretation of a resident is. I mean, if you do have children or a family, for instance, one of our firefighters wanted to take a temporary leave of his residency because his ailing father was about to die, and he was alternating with his sister living at his father's residence, still maintaining his own residence in the city, he wouldn't give him a leave. There's 200 people that have waivers of this residency right now in the city of Cleveland, but this gentleman couldn't get a waiver for 2 months to live with his father while he died. So those kinds of examples are what brought us to the point of this tax return business is really nonsensical. And we submit to this court that if they want to enforce their charter amendment, they've done everything under the sun possible. They do not need confidential tax returns. And I further submit that the federal courts have said in the commodity futures case where they overrule a lower court that the self-reporting, self-assessment, and character of the income tax system would be compromised were they promiscuously disclosed to agencies enforcing regulatory programs unrelated to tax collection itself. In the Ohio courts, in a Summit County decision, I believe, clearly said the same type of thing. The General Assembly's intent in the state of Ohio was to preserve the privacy of financial information, which is required to be disclosed to the tax commissioner. A subpoena for these type of documents, the city is claiming, well, what if we just subpoena them? And they're asking this court to retroactively say, well, maybe if you did it by subpoena, it would be better. We submit that the Petro versus North Coast Villas, the Summit County case, said that the subpoena must be authorized by law. Now, in this case, they don't subpoena it. They just say you're fired if you don't give it to us. But in the Petro case, I mean, we submit that even an administrative subpoena should not work to overcome the state statutes and the federal statutes, which clearly make tax returns a confidential matter, and they should be protected. We have no further support or arguments for our position. We're not trying to defeat the city's right to know these pieces of information and the nuggets that they want to have, but we believe that our tax returns should remain confidential.
Mr. Deamer, let me, the seems to me the factual, the sort of the equitable arguments here are strong in favor of your client. On a legal basis, what's the legal, the strongest legal argument that you can make that enables us to affirm the Court of Appeals so that we're not just saying, well, the Court of Appeals just disagreed with the city. There's really no legal impediment. I mean, if you say, well, if the records get filed with the city, then they become public records and that violates federal law, but that's a bit of a stretch. I mean, just asking for the records is doesn't violate any federal law. That's the strongest legal argument, that we aren't just sort of second-guessing the city and say, well, we looked at all the facts and we think you don't need the records.
I think, Your Honor, Chief Justice, that the strongest legal argument is the right of privacy. If the tax returns had some relationship to the matter that they were investigating, I would say that this would be a viable thing to ask for. If it had some relationship to being able to prove residency that they could get from no other source, such as all the cases they cite either relate to where a person's claiming lost wages from an accident or their spouse is claiming that they've got income that she's not privy to. Those kinds of things make your income the subject of the investigation. In this particular case, there's no pretense that the income tax of the individual that they're investigating, there's not even a pretense that this has any relevancy to what they're looking for, which is his bona fide residence, which I believe they mean bona fide domicile. You are entitled to only one domicile. You can have multiple residences, but only one domicile. And a city is trying to say that you cannot even have multiple residences under any circumstance, and they think the tax return is going to assist them in that regard. They have all other ways of doing it, and if this court were to make a decision, I would say the right of privacy is what you are upholding for all employees in the city of Cleveland. This doesn't affect just the firefighters or the police. All the employees are civil servants, all temporary employees, all part-time employees. They're all covered by this, and all of them are subject to having their income tax returns requested. And if they don't receive it, they're fired.
Counsel, you mentioned the benefit, the public benefit, which responds, I think, to the argument of lack of standing here. But you also say at page 22 of the brief that this action was instituted to seek the public benefit, namely preserving the integrity of the civil service system.
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
The Civil Service Commission is meant to have fairness among the hiring and firing practices of a public employer. In this case, the city of Cleveland has civil service employees, and they've charged the Civil Service Commission with the authority to hire those that are best qualified, to test them, to interview them, and to have us hire the best employees. They've also passed on to the Civil Service Commission the enforcement of residency and the enforcement of discipline. And if an employee has some infraction, the Civil Service Commission has the right to see to or approve the administrative discipline of that employee. When you now charge the Civil Service Commission with the right to take someone's privacy away, to take away their income tax returns in exchange for them having been appointed in the city, this is not what employees did. When they swore to follow the Constitution and the statutes and the ordinances of that city, they didn't swear that they would give you their whole life's privacy or their income tax returns. It was never a condition of employment. So if the Civil Service Commission is now going to be enforcing an unlawful act, an abuse of discretion, as you will, in taking private information from individuals that they don't need, this is an abuse of the civil service system. And we believe the integrity of the entire system is now jeopardized. What has become a fair place, a haven for employees to find protection outside of the political appointment world, it's now been jeopardized because they become now a tool of the administration to enforce an unlawful taking of privacy away from the employees. They're not there to protect the employees anymore and to make sure they're treated neutrally and fairly. They're there hiring two non-residents to go out and surveil to see if you really live in the city. Which they're not entitled. We're saying they're entitled to do that, but they're not entitled to take away their private income tax returns, which both federal and state statutes have said are confidential. Now, there may be cases that say that only goes to protect those documents from the public giving them away or the taxing authorities giving them away, but what nonsensical logic is there that if the government, who has the right to get those returns, can't give them away, that any other individual would have a right to just helter-skelter come in and for no justification, no purpose, take your tax returns? If it isn't confidential in those circumstances, then you might as well let the taxing authority release it as well. And I don't think that was the intent of Congress when they adopted their statute, nor was it the intent of the state legislature when they adopted theirs. So the entire integrity of the civil service system has been misused, and we believe that the correction of it by this court will go a long way in protecting all of those civil servants within the city of Cleveland and other civil service entities throughout the state of Ohio.
Thank you, Mr. Deamer.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Kaiser, you've saved a minute of your time.
Mr. Deamert has indicated to you that his strongest legal argument is that is the invasion of privacy argument, and yet the cases that we've cited at footnote 28 of our brief clearly establish that constitutional right to privacy has never been extended to protect federal income tax returns from disclosure in civil litigation. Moreover, even if the unions are pursuing some invasion of privacy theory here, it has always been recognized that invasion of privacy, and I refer you to footnote 24 of our brief, invasion of privacy is a personal right. Unions have no standing to assert invasion of privacy rights on behalf of their members, particularly not in a taxpayer suit.
Counsel, we talked about, and I think everyone agrees, that once these documents are turned over, the state and federal income tax, and they are part of the personnel file of the employee, that they're public record.
I equivocated on that, Your Honor, for this reason. Under the dispatch case, I'm not sure. I'd have to litigate it and research it and think about it. I'm not sure that some employees' Schedule E or Schedule A documents the business and functions of the city of Cleveland. I'm not sure of that at all. That may require litigation in a real live case or controversy, not in a taxpayer suit such as we have here. That's the only reason I equivocated. I don't know for sure that it becomes public record.
So you're saying that these documents do not document the business of the state or the city?
They may not document the functions, purposes of the city. That remains to be seen in a future day, I recognize, but that's the reason I equivocated on the question.
So, yet they're used in a discipline or at least a personnel investigation, which is a function of the city.
That's true, because they can lead to the discovery of highly relevant information that can and has been used in connection with this particular brand of civil litigation or administrative proceeding that we're involved with here, just as they are used as a matter of routine in divorce litigation, personal injury litigation, and business litigation. It cannot be abusive for the city of Cleveland to ask for the very same thing that other litigants routinely ask for and receive. It can't
except
be
that the
abusive.
City, the city is coercive in their request here, where in a divorce situation, a dissolution, there's a voluntariness to the participation in the legal process.
Your Honor, a discovery order from divorce court or personal injury in the course of personal injury litigation can be awfully coercive too. But the courts have said that there is no right to privacy in these returns, and if relevant, and I submit that it is relevant, it has to be turned over. Now, if a particular employee has a particularized objection, let them raise it. But to pass this blanket prohibition on us ever asking for a federal income tax return strikes me as strange. Everybody else is allowed to ask for income tax returns. Why is it abusive when the request comes from the city of Cleveland?
Thank you, Mr. Kaiser. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.